Sure, thank you, Esther. I can just say amen and then let's go for all of us. It's such a privilege to be able to share with you guys tonight. I actually told someone just before the service, I think it's the first time in a long time that I actually hear my heart beat at the moment. So hallelujah, God uses anyone. And I really truly believe and trust that through this message tonight, we will realize that we are part of a much bigger story and that God doesn't need perfection, but only willing hearts. And I prayed for us now, and I really trust for those things that I said. I really trust tonight for identity to be established, that we will remember our story that started ages ago so that we can love dangerously. And I trust that we can tonight really experience something about what does it mean to love dangerously. And it's so beautiful just walking into this church. I feel so welcome, and like our the scripture said on the wall, known by our love. And when I was last year November started to come here, I remember I felt so loved walking into this space. And just on this journey, you guys really became family to me within 3 months. And that is awesome. Like, family takes a while. But the question I ask myself is, do people outside of this church experience this love? Or are we just a hub inside of here? And I so wish for people outside to come into this safe space. But the question is, are we willing to go and love dangerously outside? And that's the question on my heart, and I believe that must be the question on our hearts together tonight as a family, because it's lovely, and the community that we build here is awesome, but it's for something. It's not just for our own comfort. So the title tonight is Dangerous Love in a Dangerous World. And just quickly, I want you guys, thank you, Suzanne, to speak 2 by 2. I see that flower. Do you see the flower? but that's a picture, actually, from, I'm a Free Stater. I think you'll realize it in my rrs a bit later. But that's a flower at my parents' house that actually grew out of the rocks. You can't really see it right now, but imagine a flower that grow from rocks, like bursting through rocks, a white flower, because that is really legit what happened. But anyway, and I want you guys to speak 2 by 2. What does the words dangerous love in a dangerous world mean to you? What does dangerous love, if I say that, what comes to mind? And what comes to mind when you say dangerous world? And what does that picture mean to you today? Growing from rocks, a flower. Okay, you guys can speak for like 3 minutes. Okay, if you can finish the 1 minute left, finish your last story. Okay, if you guys can just... I think sometimes it's easier for us to define a dangerous world because we see it a lot around us all the time. But we don't always see someone who really loves dangerously. And if you think about this, I want you guys to think about Jesus as the perfect example. Someone once said, if you want to preach like Jesus, you must be willing to die after that sermon. Because the people who knew Jesus the best wasn't necessarily his disciples. It might have been the rulers of the day who knew what would happen if he keeps on living. And I ask myself the question, do I love that dangerously? Am I actually a threat for the enemy, my life on earth? Or am I too busy focusing on everything I cannot do and comparing myself and thinking someone else might do it better? Or am I willing to be an open vessel for God to work through me, counting the cost while I'm doing it? So dangerous love for me is Jesus on the cross. That's quite dangerous. I mean, yeah, he's pretty going to die right there now. And for me, thinking about that, Jesus on the cross, yet he is safe in our Father's hand. And if I think about where I find my security, I think, yo, I don't know if I'm there yet, but I want to grow towards that place. So that is what I want you guys to keep in mind when we talk about a dangerous love. To really think, how can I trust that God will challenge us tonight, convict, not condemn, but convict us in places where he wants us to step out, not out of a place of being a slave, but accepting that we are a son and a daughter of our living God, and we will be safe in his arms, even if we hang on a cross. So we can go to the next slide on that light point. So Michael Frost had four practices, and it's so beautiful. It's not nouns, or it's a practice that we can. I'm a practical theologian, so usually I use my hand while I preach, and I would say, sharp, sharp, yes, be present, or king over all kings, covenant. I always have something like, remember the sermon, guys, there you go. So I truly trust that Michael Frost, what he said tonight, will really stick. Something of this will stick to you. And he divided it into four sections: dangerous story, dangerous critique, dangerous promise, and a dangerous song. And he's reflecting on the life of the Hebrews while in exile. And if you think about them, that is people who remained faithful. And if I think about them, I think about that flower that burst out of those rocks. While they were in exile, they could sing to God. They could worship. There was something, even though there was no support. And we might find ourselves in spaces sometimes where there's no support. And we even have a Christian culture in South Africa. They were in exile. They were Jews among the Babylonians. There were no support, not culture, nothing. But they had their identity in God. And they were forced to remember their story. And I want us to go to the first scripture there. What we can read, but a story told by faithful exiles right under the nose of the empire. So if you just think about this, they want to tell the story where they come from. They remember when they were in Egypt. They remember those stories, and they are willing to proclaim this story while they are in exile. So I would say that's quite a dangerous story. to tell over and over again. So let's read there. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus said the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. And I have backup to continue. here I am. How beautiful. Listen what they say. While in exile, Michael Frost says, this sounds a bit crazy. Like, how can you say this while you're in exile? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And if there's one thing I want us to remember tonight, is that our God reigns. But I want us to all think about a question. Are we living like we believe our God reigns? Within all the challenges we face, do we really believe our God reigns? Can we sing that every day? And do we reflect on our story? Do we reflect what our story is about? But we'll come to that now. I just want to read us another scripture in Exodus 15. And it is the scripture that Richard also, that I gave away last week of the context one. So here it's again. So he already gave us the context of that scripture, and that was the boom, Exodus 15, if you remember one scripture. He gave us the background. That is after Israel was delivered from Egypt, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea opened, and then they wrote this song. They sang this song, and it says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. And I would say this is people, if we read in Isaiah, the previous chapter, just there where God says, who I delivered from Egypt. And remembering, they go back to this story. So they know God has already delivered them, and he will do it again. And they hold fast to that. They remember their story. They remember where they come from. And they proclaim it, and they repeat it in the midst of exile. And I don't know what is the things that you face today, but I want us to think about the times where God came through. And if you're here tonight and you feel like, I can't remember one time tonight, I trust that living hope in your heart tonight will come alive. Will come alive, and that you will remember and see the finger of God throughout your life. And if we think about our story today, what is our story as a church today? We just sang Jesus alive in us. This is Old Testament. And it's so awesome if you want to understand the New Testament more, read the Old Testament. Because there's so many fulfillings in the New Testament. But theological hat off, I want to say something else here. And I want to say, if we think about our story today, it is God who became flesh and lived among us. That is our story. And if we start living that out, it can be a dangerous story. To surrender your life, it might feel uncomfortable. I know it will bring transformation. But it might feel dangerous. But we can sing that our God reigns with the Israelites, because we are part of this story. And sometimes we take ourselves very serious. And I love to remember myself, just all the people and the Israelites and Abram and everyone who was before me and the church through the dark ages, everything. I can't believe the church is still alive if you think about church history. But that testifies about our story, the love that God has for his bride. The church still goes on today, through all the exiles, through all our messed up doctrine and our own deceived hearts. The church remains. And that testifies of a living God that reigns, because it seems impossible in my eyes for that to happen. So think about your story. And if we think about our story, our aim is to be a Christ-like communion. But I ask myself, we always say these words, but do I reflect on who Jesus was? I'm part of this story, and we would say, yo, make Jesus your first love. And 3 years ago, I really went through a season where I asked God, like, I want to be in love with him. It must be like, I want to experience, like, giggles almost. I want, like, in love. And that was an awesome season. But this year, God really challenged me. And he said, if you think I'm your first love, are you interested in where I lived among you? Who was my mother and my dad? When was I where? There was 4 witnesses writing about me. Do you read what they wrote about me? If you're interested in someone, you want to know, where do you come from? What's your testimony? Share your testimony. But am I interested in Jesus? Am I hungry to go and read where he comes from? Am I hungry to think what he went through while he was praying there before he knew he's going to get crucified? And I believe and I trust that we will come and first of all get to know our story. Because if we do that, the last 3 points, dangerous critique, dangerous promises, and the last one, the dangerous song, that will flow from knowing your story, being still and knowing that he's God and our God reigns. So if we think about Jesus today, on the cross, our story. The amazing thing for me, I always imagine him hanging there in so much pain. But yet he says, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So even though he's in so much hurt, he still thinks about me and you. And that is an awesome story to be part of. That is a scary story sometimes to be part of. But it's an awesome one because our perspective is beyond the world that we see now. And we must trust God for that eternal perspective. And what I see when I think about Jesus on that cross, I see authority and I see and vulnerability. And we just sang, worthy is the Lamb. He was the Lion and the Lamb. And you might feel vulnerable sometimes. Dangerous love is vulnerability. And if you think about love, and you think about God, and you think about God being vulnerable, God is love. But in that vulnerability comes authority. And for us, Brené Brown, she defines vulnerability, and she says, vulnerability is to show up and be seen, to have the hard conversations, and to dare greatly. And before we don't get this, to be vulnerable before God and receiving this story, it's going to be hard for us to go out and make dangerous and critique dangerously or make dangerous promises or sing a dangerous song. So we must come to God and be vulnerable before him. You don't have to have it all together. I surely don't. But yet he uses me tonight. And that is the God that we serve. But let's go to the next slide. So this is where the dangerous critique, and I want us to read from Daniel. Yes, it's fine now. Daniel 4, verse 19 to 27. If you guys can read with me. And I just want to give a bit of background. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had a dream here, and he's asking Daniel to interpret this dream. And it's not necessarily the interpretation you want to give for the king, because it's quite a challenging interpretation for the king, for him to remember who reigns, actually. But Daniel was willing. He was willing to make this dangerous critique. And we all know they were so willing, they ended up in a lion's den. So if we can get what dangerous critique means from Scripture. So let's read this part. The tree you saw, this is now the dream that he had and the interpretation that comes now. The tree you saw which grew and became strong so that its top reached to heaven and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It is you, O King, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven. You can go to the next slide. And let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King. It is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. And I think if I was Daniel in that situation, I would have been a bit nervous telling the king this, because it might come with a few consequences. But yet again, he knew, my God reigns. And he actually loved the king by telling him that. Sometimes we think critique or standing up for something is not love. But a dangerous love sometimes, it makes you vulnerable, like we just said. And Daniel was true to what God said there. He had a fear of God, not a fear of the king. And I really trust for us to really come to that place. If you reflect on the story of Esther, she was willing to go before the king and beg for mercy for her people. And she knew what consequences there might be. But I believe yet again, she could do that because she knew her story. She remembered her story. She repeated her story. And in her heart, she knew, my God reigns. If we can go to the next slide. A dangerous promise. So this is where we come to a practical side. Ross always asks, will Durbanville remember our church if we're not here anymore? And that's such a good question to ask. And if you think about making a dangerous promise, Michael Frost also says, he says, it's dangerous because if you proclaim something out loud, the people of the city will hold you accountable to that which you said. And that is why it's dangerous. But we are too afraid to step into that danger zone of making promises because it's going to take something of us. We're going to think, no, I cannot do this. Or that one can do it better. Or that's something that burns in your heart. And if you sit still for long enough, I truly believe you will know what is the things that bother you in your heart. And if you think about the critique in the previous slide, usually the thing, this is now in a negative sense critique, but usually the things in your heart that burns and you think, this is not right. Instead of starting to critique in a negative way, ask God, why do you think in your heart it's not right? And what is the promise I can make to you, God, to do something about this? Because we can speak for ages about churches. We can speak for ages about pastors. We can speak ages about our parliament, but are we asking, what can I do? Am I the difference I want to see? You could have spent time planning something in the time you're critiquing. So I trust for that burden in our hearts. And in my own life, I also went through this. I wrote a whole thesis about church, and the title was All Glory to God with a question mark. I was just so tired of church politics. And that whole thesis in the end, the whole title changed to Ecclesia, and it's just Greek for church. And it says, do I bring hope or do I bring critique? And that is what God had to do through a whole thesis. So arrogant thinking, oh, for who is this going to mean something? And God was just like, yeah, actually, you just need to learn a lot through writing pages and pages to get your heart in the right place. So I trust that we can make that promises from our heart today and change the critique into hope and to promises that we are willing to make, dangerous promises that we are willing to make. And if we read Jeremiah 29 verse 7, it says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. We're not even in exile, but okay. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And we love to quote the psalm that says, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But I'm hungry to come to a place, and this is now me. I feel like I'm stepping in a dangerous zone just saying this now. But I'm hungry to come to that place to really have God's desires in my heart. But I'm also very scared to come to that place. Because I think I might just cry for 48 hours and just see for what his heart's breaking around us. But we are so occupied about our own world and our safe space here. And I found a great church. I feel loved in this church. Oh, and we drink coffee and fellowship. But if we drive home tonight and you see the person sitting there on the street or you see someone drunk walking by, do we actually see them? Or are we just so happy because we found our church where I feel safe, where I feel loved, where I have purpose? But there's a real longing for us to change our perspective. And yet again, I say this is not to condemn. I'm speaking to myself because I have lots of plans. But when it comes to the practice, I'm quite a visionary. And then I'm like, oops, a month afterwards, like, what did I do? So you must hold me accountable to this too. Stepping into the danger zone there. But if we see these things, and then I also want to say with this promise, obedience is the highest form of worship. This is not a place where you must be overwhelmed tonight and go and sign up for every single thing you see there. We're not saying make your calendar full of church stuff. I'm asking, who's your neighbor? Do you know him or her? I just know one, and there's a lot, and it's by accident that I know one. So, speaking to myself, where do you work? Do you really experience God's love there? Or are you criticizing there? Are you praying? And I know a lot of people that is praying, and they are tired because nothing happens. And you think like, yeah, you might say that now. You're sitting in the church. How's the people there? I hope it's good. And I know it's good. I love the church. But I trust that whatever you do, you will do it for God, because you made the time to go and sit at his feet and ask, why is this thing that bothers me bothering me? And when times get tough and you say like, I walked around this Jericho walls now, I feel like 9 times and nothing has fallen, like nothing. I trust that you will go for the 10th round. Why? Because you didn't do it because someone said, but because you sat at God's feet. Getting to know the story that you're part of. Getting to know the God that who wants to partner with you on this journey. And know that is for whom I'm doing it. And that is where I find my security. And even if I have to live for 40 years praying and not even see what happens, but that it will only happen after my life, I'm willing, God. I'm willing. Are we there to make those promises to God? And the last one is a dangerous song. Oh, wait. Oh, go to the next slide. I want to do this before the dangerous song. Tom Wright says that three primary evidences that God's reign is breaking out in your neighborhood is reconciled relationships, social justice, and redeemed beauty. Won't it be awesome if we can trust for those three things in Durbanville? And we need each one of you, because I am not at your office space tomorrow. Ross is not there. You are there. No one else sitting here tonight is there. You are there. And can we trust for those three things? Reflecting on your own life, asking God, where can I do those three things? Our promise, there's already Urban that we can serve. Oh, sorry for that spelling there. Or pa fans, but it's orphans. Your workplace. Praying for the drought that we're in. When I typed drought, I was listening to something and I was typing what he says and he also said floods. And then this morning I just deleted the flood part. Feels like, no, don't pray against floods. But are we praying for the drought? And it's awesome to see how we come together to pray. That is, we're celebrating that. We must also remember to celebrate the small victories. While we're in this message of there's always these two sides, so remember that. But to pray for the drought and your fees must fall. I wrote that for the universities, educations, the parliament. Monday evening, so many people came and stood in the gap and they prayed, and we were in community. And praying, and that's awesome. That's something we celebrate, and we celebrate Urban and what we've already done. But there's so much more we can do, and it mustn't like maak ons moeg, but tire us. It must make us excited, because I remember if I got to a place in university and I was like thinking, kry myself bietjie jammer or so, I would go out and speak to a bergie, a homeless guy. And that was so much fun to do that. I actually had one who I ate pies with in the Nielsi. And every time I wanted to like start focusing on myself, or when Frans did lie to me quite a lot, but it was so awesome to just get out there and eat a pie with a bergie, because that is something that stirs your heart again. What am I here for? Because the world will be very, 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 very sad if we just live for ourselves. Because that is a drop if you think about the thousands of generations being thrown upon the nations of a thousand generations. It's not worth it to live for our job. So what is the promise? Where are we going to fulfill those promises? And then the next slide is a dangerous song. So this is a song of proclamation. And if I think about a dangerous song, when Ross and I spoke, I actually said like Paul in the prison. He could sing, he could rejoice in the prison, but that's not the song we're speaking about tonight. That is awesome to rejoice in your sufferings. But what are we proclaiming? What are we singing into the future? And a big word for that is like I can't even pronounce it. So it's about eschatologische sparringie daar. It's the between the yet and the not yet. Like we are waiting. We know Jesus is coming, but he must come again. And we're in that space. And for this, what are the songs, what are the future songs that we are singing tonight? What are the songs that even though our emotions don't feel like it, even if we can't see anything of that promises we feel is in our heart, what are the songs that we are singing that into being? And in Isaiah they sang, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and the inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I don't know if I'll buy that CD. To think about it. A woman in labor. So, what is God speaking about here through his word? What are we birthing? Or is it our romantic songs? And I love romantic songs. I want Jesus to be my first love. But am I just singing that? Or do I actually step from the date and ask, so where are we going? Step out from that date. And to imagine giving giving birth, it's not necessarily easy. It's uncomfortable, I would think. but yet again, what makes it a dangerous song? What are the Hebrews singing while they are in exile under the eyes of the empire who wants to persecute them? What are they singing? What are they singing? What are they birthing? What are they leaving behind? They made a difference. We're still reading about them today. They left a legacy. They made dangerous promises. Daniel and his friends served the city where they were in. And that is what I'm longing for our church and myself, being part of this awesome church, to go out and do. For a long time, I asked God, why did he give me my testimony to me? Because there's been a lot of grace on my life, and I've asked questions about God since the age of 8. So it started really, really young. And I felt condemned. I asked him, like, what my testimony? Like, I don't feel like, what was I sharing? And that was the focus. Like, where's my funny part of da or something like that? And I had to change my mind from asking, why my testimony, to, what do you want to do with my testimony? What do you want to do with my testimony? And we need not God. God doesn't need us. He chooses to use us. But he's longing for us to own our story, knowing that we're part of a bigger story, a bigger community, and even a bigger community than Durbanville, a bigger community than South Africa, a bigger community than this age. But he wants us to reflect on that story, knowing that our God reigns when we go out to serve the poor. So the next slide is where Walter Brueggemann says, Jews in exile sing dangerous songs. Their worship is filled with seditious, who can pronounce that word? Seditious, thank you. Seditious power. Are we singing powerful songs? When we sing, is there something changing? And what is our future songs? We must ask ourselves, what is our future songs? What is our future song as a church? What do we want to birth in Durbanville? What do we want to birth in our workplace? What is our future song? And do we sing like exiles? Joyful. In intercession before the service, there was a lot of joy and peace. The words came up a lot. And it's awesome because it's within a sermon like this, where words like joy and peace is still primarily. Because we're not slaves anymore. Our story that started long ago, they are free. They are free. They're not slaves anymore. And Jesus came and he set us all free. We're part of the story now. So if you do it, we must do it not out of a place of striving, but knowing that He loved us dangerously first. But I think the problem is we really, really struggle to receive that love because we focus on what we can't do, on our past, on all our fears. And then we try to give love, but we're drained because we didn't receive the love that God wants to give to us first. So I pray and I trust that we will be willing to be vulnerable before God. So like I actually just before the sermon, driving here, like, oh, have mercy on me, an open vessel, but yet you choose to use me. I pray that we will come to that place of vulnerability, knowing our brokenness. But everything has a crack in it. That's how the light shines through. So I pray that we will own our story, the story that comes from ages before us. And while we do that, I pray and I trust that we will overflow into this city. Overflow. And I pray that we will be focused on God's agenda, not our own. Not when we're in mission mode, but when God asks us every day, day-to-day obedience. So the next slide, just in end, is may we be a family known by our dangerous love, a Christ-centered community who remembers our story with courageous and willing hearts to give dangerous critique, make dangerous promises, and sing dangerous songs by the grace of God, knowing that we are safe in His hands. And I would just like to pray this last scripture over us tonight. You can go to the last one. And I'm going to replace the me with us. I hope it can work, but we can read this out loud together. So, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, because the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Amen. Yeah. And while I was preparing for tonight, I really trusted God. Like, what is His heart for you guys tonight? What is His heart? Because we can preach a lot of sermons, a lot of scriptures, but what does He want to come and do in our hearts tonight? And there were three things that really came to mind, and it's establishing identity. Identity in ourselves as sons and daughters of a living God who reigns. And for that to happen, I really trust that we will be willing to be vulnerable before Him tonight. And I trust the other thing is for us to think about our perspective tonight as well. To think about our perspective. What are the things that's the biggest in our life at the moment? Is it your fears and your planning? Is it your striving? Or is it a God who reigns and who already won? He's just asking, do you want to join in this victory? And I want us, as we remember our story tonight, we're going to take communion, reflecting on the one hanging on a cross in tremendous pain, still seeing each one of him in front of him. And I want us to reflect on this God tonight. And you can just sit there and spend time with God on your own while we have communion. But while you eat this tonight and drink, remember our story. Because it's an awesome one to be part of. It's an awesome family to be part of. So they will hand it out and then we can pray for the communion.